You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying.
WMDX 92.7. It's John and Gordy in the morning, and it's a kind of a muggy, high humidity, high dew point morning for you.
Yes, it is.
And we're overlooking State Street. The leaf blower guys are not out this morning.
We haven't seen them for days.
I know. What happened?
They were out. I'm not sure.
They went out and they blew leaves during the rainstorm that we had.
Yes. It was fun to watch.
I don't know why, but, yeah. You know.
Well, they want to keep their jobs, you know? Guess.
But now they're not out there when they should be out there.
I don't know. It's 6:35. It is cloudy. We'll see a lot of sunshine, though, and highs in the low 80s. Right now, it's 64 degrees.
Maybe the city hires as supervisors.
You think so?
Make sure those guys are doing their job out there.
Sure. This portion of the show brought to you by Madison Hearing Aid Center. Go to their excellent website, madisonhearingaidcenter.com. They offer passion over profit, fast and flexible appointments, helping people change their lives. Their number one goal isn't just selling hearing aids. It's improving the quality of life through better hearing. Talk to Jim or Sarah at Madison Hearing Aid Center, 4706 Cottage Grove Road in Madison. Once again, their website, madisonhearingaidcenter.com.
All right, let's go to our Thursday morning guest, Tim Slacker, Dr. Tim Slacker from Busted Pencils. And they have podcasts that you can listen to, and I'm going to refer to the latest podcast from Wednesday, which I thought was very interesting about ditching college for tech classes in the schools nowadays. You found this article in USA Today. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for the weather update. Here in Pennsylvania right now, modes of transportation are canoes.
Raining.
Lots of rain, lots of rain. Wow. But no. Yeah, think about, I saw this article because it's interesting to think that more and more students are literally saying, college, no, not for me. There are opportunities in particularly around, getting trade training and going out and going to work. The other part of the article, though, was that the survey of the parents going, wait a minute. You're supposed to go to college, right? And I think that what's really happening there, though, too, is that students might actually have a little bit more of a take on this of saying, but why would I go to college when it doesn't seem like, graduating from college gives me anything other than debt,
right,
and no job opportunities? And right now, even without a trade school, just coming out of high school, taking a job that has an apprentice type of a program like that, that they can start earning money and going forward in that direction. And so the reason I brought this to the Busted Pencils was to say, well, what would that mean currently in a higher education landscape where we already know that enrollments are declining? Mm-hmm. And there is a kind of a cultural don't go there because, all they do is teach you to, overthrow the government in an
Well, that's true. That's what they're thinking. And the more educated, of course, the more democratic you are, right?
And install some form of a Marxist authoritarian.
Oh, yes.
I wonder, though, too, when I look at this and say, I don't know that the kids, I think that they might be onto something. And the parents, though, are still kind of trapped in this sense of going, but we always imagined that you, and if we're really talking about first generation college students here, we really imagined that you were going to go to college. And so the parents are up against this vision of what they saw college as, meaning this pathway to some form of a middle class, you know, job type of security, when the reality is that maybe that is more of a myth than it is an actual truth. And maybe the students in high school have more of a grasp on thinking, you know what, I think a future is for me right now is to get a good job, to get some training. And one of the things that I kind of highlighted in this article was one of the students really pointed out and saying, that doesn't mean that I've ruled out college. Mm-hmm. It just means that I'm thinking about it for now as something that, you know, I can go out, I can make some money, I can get a trade, and then I can go back to college.
Right.
And that is a unique, potentially cultural shift to think about going, okay, what if college isn't immediately right after you graduate high school? And, you know, Johnny in that episode was talking about saying that, you know, he always did think that, you know, taking a year off before you go to college really does kind of give a sense of, you know, when you actually sign up to go into college, then after a year break or going out and doing something, you have more of a sense of going, you know, why you came to college. So,
yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, I grew up in a time when we thought that if you took a year off or two, you're not going to go back.
Right.
That was was the thinking back then.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And that's what your parents thought, too.
It's like,
well, if you take a year off, you're not going back.
But, yeah, you know, you brought this up. You brought this up in your podcast, and I looked up the who goes back, and according to the statistics from last year, I believe 39 million went back to college. 24% of those who were at college, undergrads, were adult. Okay, mm-hmm. And the pathway, of course, is doing that, going back to college. Now, I'm wondering how many of these had gone to college for a year, dropped out, didn't think it was useful, then went on to the workplace, but then decided to go back to college. So they had a year or two of college already, and they just, you know, went back to their undergrad.
In fact, that population, we refer to them as some college.
That's right, some college.
it's a huge population of people that have, you know, gone and done a year, did a year and a half. It didn't work out. They didn't like it. And now they're out in a job. And, you know, some of them are saying, oh, geez, I should go back. But actually, there's a huge population of some college that legitimately had significant problems. And right now, mm-hmm. institutions are saying, how do we get them to come back?
Right.
What is it? And this is where I think there's a real opportunity for higher education and colleges to point out and say, you know what, we have, and in fact, let's design pathways for this population that is a little bit different than a traditional 4-year going, you know, living in the dorms, waking up on Monday morning and going, I'm not going to class, and realize that this population, maybe if we change the way we do college, we could get them to come back and create pathways. So there's a whole lot of opportunities here for higher education, particularly to kind of say, okay, we have a traditional track. We know we want those students, but what about all of these other people? Because if higher education is truly beneficial, then how we allow people to access it and how we allow them to progress through it, we might need to change those types of modalities to fit somebody who maybe is working, quote, full time and still wants to go to college. And so how do we allow or encourage them to have the ability to come back to college?
Talking to Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils. Tim, we've got a text here from Matt in Middleton. He says he has a little different take on this.
Talking
about his body here.
Yeah.
The thing about college is that it can lead to a career that doesn't destroy your body. The trades are hard on your body, and it's unlikely you can do it for 30 years as opposed to a thinking career. That's he says that's my 2 cents.
Yeah,
you know, wow. That's an, you know, because he's talking about jobs like welders or plumbers or, I mean, that does take a toll. I guess that comes into consideration when thinking about what you're going to do with your life.
It actually does. In fact, I was down at the carpenters training facility in Pittsburgh yesterday, actually talking to that group who is trying to, you know, imagine college as a pathway. And one of the issues is that, you know what, this is hard work. It's hard on the body. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I had, in addition to my, you know, carpenter's, let's call it a license, if I had maybe a bachelor's degree in construction management, that, you know, maybe in 15 years, I can then kind of move into a direction where I'm not on my, you know, hands and knees or lifting heavy things. And, you know, it's a real issue. It was interesting because they were, you know, particularly flooring installers
who are
truly on their hands and knees all day long. You know, after 20 years, it might feel good to stand up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I have a nephew who's a master plumber, you know, and has gone all the way up in the union and is a crew manager and goes all over the state doing plumbing. But he's about 45 or years or so old, and he can't wait to get retired. He's like, I'm looking forward to the day that I don't have to do this kind of work, and he's in charge of it. And so he does do some hands-on, of course, but he says my body is worn out.
That gets into the side issue of when is the best time for retirement. You know, the Republicans want to extend it. They don't want you to retire too early. And they want to make it even later in life that you can retire. And that's kind of foolish because of all these laborious jobs that are destroying your body, right?
Well, yeah. But you know, understand that where they're coming from is that they need people in their 80s to come in and fix their toilets.
Well, I was waiting for something profound, and we got it from you on that. Okay. Now, I want to bring this up, too, because we have a Gen Zer as our producer, Dom. And I wonder, what do you think on this, Dom? Do you guys, debate whether, you know, there's a field that you can get into, but it may not be there for long because AI might replace it or robotics might replace it? What's your feeling on that?
I actually just talked about this with my roommate, who's about the same age as me.
Yeah.
And, he...
22?
22, correct. Yeah. Yep, 22. And he is very afraid of where AI might go with this whole issue about, you know, gaining jobs, going into the real world. I just started going into the real world a couple months ago. And my roommate was really nervous. He does sort of lab testing. And already, you know, robots are kind of going into the forefront there and kind of taking over his job, essentially. And I know it's going to be much, much more in about, you know, 5 to 10 years. Or that's what we think. That's what we think.
So that may be a discouragement to go into anything.
Correct.
And that's why they may be holding themselves up and not going on to college at that point. Right, Tim? Mm.
Yeah, it's a real fear. I think the idea of potentially being replaced by robots isn't necessarily. I mean, if we're talking about the manufacturing process, that's going to continue to be an issue. But I see, Dom. Well, yeah, I have some thoughts about that I think might give Dom a little bit more of a sense of ease.
All right.
Okay.
We'll come back.
All right. We'll be back with Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils on John and Gordy in the Morning in just a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, everybody, Rocker here. Join me for the Max Inc. Preview every Friday morning with John and Gordy right here on WMDX. And now they're up for Best Radio Team on Madison Magazine's Best of Madison poll. Let me just say, these guys rock, so they're getting my vote, and I hope you get out your vote too. They may be old, but they still know how to rock.
Thank you, Rocker.
Please, please vote for us.
Please. You'll be here tomorrow. If you want to find out how to vote, you can go to WMDXradio.com.
I don't want to sound desperate or anything, but
you are sounding desperate.
Please vote for us.
You can only vote once in this poll, and you have 11 days left.
We tried to game it, but we couldn't find a way to do that.
That's right.
All right. Well, anyway.
It's 23 past. Look at the sun coming through the
windows. Isn't
that
amazing?
Here.
That just happened. You know why?
Why?
Because we have Brittany Merlot.
Oh, she's our ray of sunshine every morning.
A ray of sunshine. Oh.
Good morning, Brittany. How are you?
Thank you, guys. I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing okay.
Good.
Yeah, it's still kind of muggy out.
Yeah.
That dew point's still in the low 60s, I think. Right?
Yeah, about 62 degrees, so it's up there.
Tracking that? Got an eye on it, John?
I'm watching it.
We've got a bunch of rain that moved through yesterday and last night that kind of tapered off and moved out. But, it's beautiful. It's beautiful looking anyway.
After yesterday, right? But you had flash flood warnings down south in Janesville area, too. I know that was not you guys, but close enough.
Yes,
I'm glad you missed
that's
it.
That's close.
Right?
Yeah.
But we're looking at a lot of sunshine today, honestly. Nice and warm, mid-80s. Dew points aren't too bad, considering what we have coming ahead. Comparatively, it's more comfortable today. So we've got this front still draped over the state. The darn thing has taken its time. So it's still going to send a few more showers and storms possible. But I think a lot of those are going to stay north, probably east and away from you. So I really think you're good to go until tomorrow morning. That's when you can't escape the rain. More showers, more storms. Again, I think it's going to be gone by the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So we could see some sunshine by the end of the day tomorrow. Winds start to get breezy out of the south. And that's where all that heat and humidity starts to surge in. And I don't know about you, but I'm going either in the water or staying inside in the AC because these temperatures are going to hit about 93 degrees is what I'm thinking. Both Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then the dew points in the mid-70s, potentially upper 70s, which is gross.
I know. It's time to go to the water parks. That's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's
find the sprinklers, the water toys, the squirt guns, anything.
Everything and anything.
Well, so get used to the heat.
And you know why? Because summer is coming up.
That's right. Summer begins tomorrow, right?
It does. It's the summer solstice. It's the longest day of the year. We've got tomorrow and a little bit of Saturday, and then the days start to slowly get shorter. Hmm. Crazy to think about.
Okay, now sunset is at 8:40 tonight.
Okay,
so we'll have to watch that. It may go up to 8:41 or 2.
You know, I'm wondering.
It'll be just seconds longer, unfortunately. I know. It's about 15 hours and 22 minutes and 19 seconds of daylight, if you're curious. Mm.
Wow. Okay.
Right off the top of your head. Wow.
Well, Brittany,
you are good.
It's going to be really, really hot, and, summer is beginning, and, it just starts me to wondering, we haven't talked about interplanetary weather in a long time. Do you have something ready for interplanetary weather?
Interplanetary weather.
You bet. Of course I do. Let's talk about the sun.
All right.
Well, okay. Sure.
So
what about
the sun? I had no idea that the sun was, I knew it was really, really hot, but I didn't know how hot it was at the core. Mm-hmm. You guys have any guesses?
I have no idea. I mean, how do they measure that, first of all? And,
good question.
Exactly.
I'm going to say it's more than 10,000 degrees. I don't know. It's a guess.
You know what, though? You were on the dot to the surface temperature of the sun. 10,000 degrees is what the surface of the sun is, but down at the core.
Woo, good one,
27 million degrees Fahrenheit.
What?
27 million degrees Fahrenheit.
27 million?
cools off quite a bit on the surface. Yeah,
but it's a dry heat, right?
Yeah, it's a dry
heat. The molten heat.
Dry heat. Yeah. So,
wow, that's just amazing. Thank
Sweating
you.
Thinking about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's outrageous.
No. Well, thank you for that interplanetary weather. We appreciate that, Brittany.
Yeah. You're welcome. Okay. Those are always fun. Yeah, and stay cool as we go through this weekend.
There we go. Okay. Close the book on that. Okay. Hey, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Find out about the weekend some more. Okay.
Sounds good.
All
you
right.
Too.
Take
That's
care.
Brittany Merlot, our WMDX meteorologist. Okay. And this portion of John and Gordy in the Morning brought to you by Verlo Mattress. You can wake up and sleep better on a Verlo mattress. A lot has changed since 1958. Some things remain constant throughout Verlo's history. They're direct to consumer and providing superior products at unbeatable prices. Verlo Mattress, two locations in Madison, East Side and West Side. Go to verlo.com for more information. Not a lot of time here.
We've there's not enough time for fitting our story about Hegseth.
Oh,
you know, he had some amazing comments to the people interviewing him.
Well, maybe we can talk to Jim Santel about that a little bit.
You maybe
know? There's some legality involved in some of that.
he doesn't know what's going on. He's a former host on Fox News. Come
talking
on,
talking about Hegseth now.
Yeah, Jim Pete Santel, Hegseth.
He knows what's happening.
This is just
happening.
Ridiculous. This guy is nuts. And, you know, it doesn't seem like he cares. He's just playing a game with the Senate.
He's very combative. You know, he doesn't want to answer anything.
Yeah.
That's the thing. He's not going
to
answer anything.
He's trying
anything.
To be clever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's
and
not
it's
working.
Not coming across well. In fact, it's belligerent.
Mm-hmm.
And these senators weren't real happy with a lot of his responses.
No, they weren't. Yeah. And that's going to continue. Is he done with his testimony?
I don't
or
know.
Is he going to be back?
I don't know. We should be done. We don't want to hear any more from him. He has nothing to
completely.
Add.
Yes.
Nothing to add.
All right.
Jim Santel coming up with a lot of legal mm-hmm. things to talk about.
And Pam Yonke, the fabulous farm babe, with the Midwest Food and Farm Report next. And then we'll be back with Jim Santel on John and Gordy in the Morning.
Stephanie Miller here. Listen up, my pals John and Gordy are up for Best Radio Team in Madison Magazine's Best of Madison poll. I know, I was surprised too. Just kidding, please vote for them because they lead into my show, and when they do well, it helps me out too. Me. Love you, John and Gordy.
We love you too, Stephanie.
Yeah.
Stephanie Miller Show next on the Civic Media Radio Network. John and Gordy back with attorney Jim Santel from... Amicus, a law review. This portion of the show brought to you by Madison Hearing Aid Center. They offer passion over profit, convenience over complexity. They're helping people change their lives. Their number one goal isn't just selling hearing aids, it's improving the quality of life through better hearing. It's Madison Hearing Aid Center, 4706 Cottage Grove Road in Madison. Go to their excellent website, madisonhearingaidcenter.com.
We were talking during the commercial break about nationalizing the National Guard or
the Marines.
The Marines
sending in the
yeah,
troops.
Sending everything right. in. Right. And that is become a huge issue now. And you mentioned something about that. It's something there was a hearing yesterday about it, right?
Yes, exactly. We know we talked about it on this very broadcast last week. A federal judge named Breyer, B-R-E-Y-E-R, that's not the former Supreme Court justice, but Charles Breyer, he's a district court judge in San Francisco, and he looked at all this, he had a hearing, and he said, you know what, the basis upon which any president can federalize the California or any National Guard is you've got to make a finding of a rebellion, people trying to overthrow the government. You've got to have an invasion, and talks all about how this is just not that. This is people protesting. And yeah, some of it may have gotten not violent with a capital V, but a little some rocks thrown and things like that. But that's not a rebellion trying to overthrow the government. So he basically says, Donald Trump, you can't do this. You're without constitutional and statutory authority. Mm-hmm. It is appealed right away, of course, by Donald Trump through your Department of Justice. And the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is, again, the court above Judge Breyer, again, encompassing California and Washington and Oregon and Alaska, Hawaii, a huge portion of the country, basically said, we're going to have a hearing on this to determine whether or not the lower court's order should stand. They did that just yesterday, about an hour-long hearing or so, and it's just an opportunity, again, to review what the lower court has done. Hard to say. We don't predict a whole lot from what happens in oral arguments, but it appeared that at least, again, this is just a three-judge panel, and at least some of the judges were at least sympathetic to the president's view that he is the commander-in-chief, he's got to be concerned for the entire country, and for that reason, he's got the authority to do this. And so we'll see what the Ninth Circuit does. A couple of options that may come out of that, if indeed the Ninth Circuit goes in the opposite direction. One is what's called an en banc proceeding, could have all the judges of the Ninth Circuit, 20 some of them, getting together to review that. Probably in that setting, they would go with Judge Breyer. Ultimately, where could this go once again? Our friends at the Supreme Court, this could end up there, as do many of these cases. But it's topical right now. It is hot right now, not only because of the legal issues, because it relates to the president's capacity, as we were talking again, to bring what are basically political differences. I don't like the political and partisan views of a mayor in a particular city. And because of that, I'm going to do something either to restrict their funding, in this case, even to shut down the legitimate public debates that are going on in those cities. That's a different kind of thing that the president has never done before in American history.
Well, it's not an insurrection. Yeah. It's not a rebellion.
No.
Again, these are protests. So how can the Ninth Circuit even come to any kind of conclusion that it would be okay for the president to nationalize the military right. like
that's,
this?
That's the head scratcher. When you read Judge Breyer's opinion, it is so good. There is some great language in there, too. I read it during the course of the events, the community events of last Saturday, about how, you know, it's troubling that the president would even say that somehow public debate, protest, the opportunity to exercise your First Amendment rights, that somehow that's a rebellion, Mr. Yeah. President, that that's insurrection. So it is difficult to believe that any judges, however, whatever their political background may be, would go in that direction. We'll see if things have happened like that in the past, but we're not done with this issue by a far, far stretch.
Now, you said it's a three-judge panel. It could go to the full circuit, right?
Yes, it could. If, again, likely the governor, he is the plaintiff in this case. If there is an unfavorable decision to California, he could say, you know what, I want everybody to decide this. And they may well grant that request, especially in the Ninth Circuit, if you get an opinion from two or three of these judges. That's different from what probably the majority of the Ninth Circuit judges would do. Likely that this may be heard by all of them, and that could further delay all this, of course. But this is not the end in the federal courts by any means. And again, maybe one day, no time soon, that this could get up to the Supreme Court as well.
But the crazy part is that don't they know the repercussions on granting something like this? I mean, every city can be occupied at that point. Everybody
right.
could be watching the military, you know,
rolling
marching
their
through their towns.
Yeah. That's the concern that your questions just raised. Okay, the president wakes up one morning and says, you know what, I don't like what I'm seeing. Yeah. Those protests along the highways and in the public ways, and there is rebellion going on, and I'll make that finding, as the president did. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, the tanks then can roll in, and we can do something again. The National Guards have been federalized a couple of times. It's always been to advance civil rights, right? It's to ensure that again, President Eisenhower sent in the National Guard to ensure that segregation, Brown versus Board of Education 2, is followed way back in the 1950s. We do that to enforce the rights of people, not to trample on them and restrict them. That's why this is so very different today.
Boy, it's just absolutely crazy. And it just makes us all really nervous and on edge. And we're already watching the military tramp through our towns, our cities, grabbing people off the street. And people are just, you know, worried about their friends, their loved ones, their coworkers. I mean, the chilling effect is just outrageous.
Yeah. And you like to think that the courts would go in that direction also to support rights of people.
Yeah.
Jim, we got to leave it there. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll talk
always
to you
a pleasure.
Next
yes,
time
always.
Around. You can listen to Jim's show, Amicus, a Law Review, on the Civic Media Radio Network on Saturdays from 9 to 11 a.m. And tomorrow on the show, we've got Rocker joining us, also Savannah Tomei Olson and Pam Yockey. That's going to do it for this Thursday.
Wow. Busy day today.
Busy, busy, busy. Stephanie Miller's next. So long.
Wait. Uh-oh.
Look out. Here comes the... Oh, no. Look out for the drone.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy in a beautiful morning.
It's gorgeous. We have sunshine, highs today getting into the low to mid 80s, and dew points are high. Humidity, it's muggy out there.
It is awful.
Maybe some showers and storms later. Okay, welcoming into our studios here, Jesse Christensen. He is with Cannabis DNP. And they have you have a website, cannabisdnp.com. Jesse, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And the DNP stands for Doctor of Nursing.
Doctor of Nursing Practice, correct.
Yeah. Yep. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like it.
A lot goes into this, your website, and we direct people over there to cannabisdnp.com. Simple as that. And check it out. It's it does a lot to inform the individual about what you're into and how you have made this this product that you have. And that's what we want to kind of get into. There's a lot of different points of view on what is available out there now. And there are a lot of shops that are dotting State Street and all the other avenues here in the city. So what is it that we're missing? A lot of people, have kind of been brought up, Gordy and I, of course, came from a generation of just, buds and weed.
The flower.
The flower. But, things have changed so dramatically now because this is, legal. Hemp. This is where a lot of this comes from, is hemp, and a lot of these stores have popped up. You got to fill us in, and what exactly introducing people to this industry, because there's still a lot of mystery surrounding it. We're seeing the shops, but we're not real familiar with what to expect when we go into these shops.
Sure.
Or go to your website and your product.
Yeah. Sure. So yeah, there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of shops. There's a ton of products. As a matter of fact, I just got back from Chicago at the Champs Trade Show, where I got to see over like 2,000 vendors selling multiple different products. Yeah. So it's an interesting industry. I like to err on the side of caution, so I stick more with the medicinal components and not so much the bright and shiny, colorful products that are out there on the market right now. So I like to stick with the low dose.
So when you say medicinal products, what kind of products are we talking about? Are we gummies and
So mine are taffies.
Taffy.
Yeah, not like the saltwater taffies. They're more dense. But they're also DEA registered hemp farms. That's where I get my hemp from. So I know that they're clean. They get tested for pretty much every pesticide, every metal. I have the chain of custody paperwork in case anybody wants to see it. And then I use FDA regulated CGMP compliant kitchens to make sure that there's an added layer of safety with the cleanliness of the product itself. And that kind of is what separates mine from a lot of products. Mine are very focused for a couple of different reasons. I work with sleep and pain and stress and anxiety. So I work with pretty much only two products as of right now. I'm formulating a few others, but I like to work more with the low dose, judicious amounts and dose products.
But now you have a doctorate in this.
I do. I got it last year, May, from UW-Madison. Never would have thought that would ever have happened to me.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, there is a push to regulate the industry a little bit because there really aren't any regulations. No one saw this development happening.
Correct.
Because of the hemp product. Well, they wanted to grow hemp in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, everything just developed from there. And now people want some safeguards put up, some guardrails.
Yeah.
And that's kind of basically what you're providing with your product.
So, yeah, working in the healthcare industry, I want to make sure that what I give to my clients or my customers is exactly what it is. I like to be very transparent. Again, that's part of healthcare, is being very transparent with your customers. other people out there, they have a tendency to want to mock up their COAs, their certifications, and try to get the most dose THC out of it to make it seem very strong and very potent, because that's the tendency of what sells here in Madison, Wisconsin, and in Wisconsin in general, is people want the most potent product, the newest product. And that's one of the things that I like about Minnesota is with their rules and regulations. My products have been accepted up into the Minnesota market. That just kind of tells you what kind of product you're dealing with here in Wisconsin.
So in Wisconsin, what are the regulations?
There really are none.
Okay.
Yeah, there's
it's
really
just as long, open air. As it's long open. As the hemp derived, the hemp that you receive is less than 0.3% THC.
Okay.
And then you can manipulate your products however you choose.
That's right. And what is Delta 9? THC.
So here in Wisconsin, we have to kind of specify the different deltas. The different THCs are like a family, 8, 9, and 10, and others. Delta 9 basically just, it tells you where the double structure is, the double bond is on the chemical structure. So let's say the Delta 8 would be over on this way, Delta 9 would be here, Delta 10 would be here. It just tells you where that double bond is on the chemical structure.
Does that determine what kind of product you make out of it, or what it treats necessarily?
Not so much what it treats, just what kind of product it is. So Delta 9, we know, is the major main component, psychoactive component of the cannabis plant.
Okay.
So it's the most abundant. Delta 8 is in the cannabis plant. It's just in such a low amount that to make a product from the plant itself would be extremely expensive. So what we do is, or what companies do is, they'll isomerize Delta 9 into Delta 8 with using different chemical.
Oh, okay. All right.
So Jesse, tell us about, now your medical background tends to focus on working with people that are 40 and older?
13 and over, but yeah, my sweet spot is about 40 and above. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So they're probably customers of yours are coming to you for the first time, like, and what do you tell them as far as what, if they have an ailment, let's say they have arthritis or something, I mean, maybe there's a medical reason that they've heard that your products will help them.
Sure.
How do you guide them? What do you ask them? And what do you recommend for them? If I have arthritis or I can't sleep at night, that kind of thing.
So the workup is kind of like, it's personalized. Mm-hmm. Everybody is different. Everybody has their own medical background, medical history, medications that they're on, which a lot of people don't ask about. And if there's a concern for me, let's say you have a recent heart condition.
Yes.
Cannabis products may not be for you at this point in time.
Exactly.
But as soon as that becomes a more maintained, then we come back and revisit possible low dose, starting dose of like 1 milligram THC or CBD. But safety is always a concern. Transparency is always a concern. If I'm working with some patients with some mental health issues, I always ensure that they're talking with their psychiatrist or psychologist about any cannabinoid products. I give them my card. I'm very open about it. They can contact me at any time, but safety is a priority to me.
Yeah, and you mentioned a heart condition. There has been, of course, a study that's out there that said that
there's
a lot of people who smoke are more prone to have a heart attack. Now, what's the science on that?
So I think you're referring to the ACC paper, maybe the AHA paper. So the ACC paper that came out in 2025, I think in May. So there was a correlation, but they couldn't really determine a causation. And then when they were talking about their study, I believe they only used 4 keywords when they were looking up all of the medical patients' histories. So they used the words cannabis, stroke, heart failure, and something else. So it was very skewed. The information, was very skewed. So if you're only using those keywords, your numbers are going to be very high for those reasons. Now, if they would have added in some other things like tobacco use or BMI or other things like that, you can get a more well-rounded version. But because of it's news, it's in the headlines, everybody's curious about it. And again, they're just promoting that same stigma from 1970 of be afraid of this. You don't have to be afraid of this if you're using it consciously. If you're using this for the right purpose with the right product. Now, it is shown that inhalation does increase your heart rate by about 8 beats per minute. It does increase your blood pressure a little bit, depending on your product that you're using. But over time, your body eventually becomes tolerant of that, and then it actually will drop your blood pressure depending on the product you're using.
So are you talking about inhalation of smoke, marijuana smoke, or are you talking about inhalation with vaping? There
is a difference.
Okay.
So when I'm working with clients and they're not completely sure, and especially they have like an acute outburst of pain, the inhaled form is very quick. It's got a very quick onset, but it doesn't last as long as the oral or the ingestion route. So when we're talking about inhalation, what I like to choose is the vaporization method. It's the safest method. You don't combust the material, unlike smoking, let's say, a joint or a bowl of marijuana or cannabis. With that being said, the vaporization method also will increase your heart rate and your blood pressure just because it's very acute. It's not a controlled.
Very sudden.
Yeah, it's very sudden.
Yeah.
Talking with Jesse Christensen from CannabisDNP.com. Do you have an actual retail location?
I don't, but
it's all online.
On my site, you can find all the locations my products are available.
Okay.
Well, I think that what surprised me looking at the locations is that you can pick up your product at Piggly Wiggly.
Really?
Sure.
Is there a Piggly Wiggly in Madison?
Out in Sauk.
Out in Sauk.
Oh, Sauk, yeah, right on Highway 12.
Yeah, that's okay. Out in Bellevue, too, or Belleville, yeah.
So okay. There you go.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Okay, so we talked about inhaled products. Well, okay, what about gummies versus, you're offering taffy now? I mean, is that about the safest route to go as far as any ill side effects?
So the oral route, the ingestion when you actually eat it, I like this method because it lasts longer and you don't need as much. Okay. The inhale version works great, especially if you have acute issues and you need something right away. But when you actually eat the edible, it breaks down through the liver, similar to like a lot of oral medications. And then it gets in the bloodstream, which is about 4 times stronger than what it originally was. Mm-hmm. But it also lasts about 8 to 12 hours longer. So you get that full effect for a longer period of time.
Okay. And what are we treating sometimes when people want to take this? Is it the lack of sleep?
Sure.
The inability to sleep?
Sure.
Pain, aches and pains?
Yep. So my two products, the sleep and pain and the stress and anxiety, those are the major conditions that I see a lot of people for. And this happened even before I was I had a doctorate. This was when I was working the floor as a bedside nurse from 2016 on to 2023. A lot of people come in for insomnia or pain. And I'm not a huge fan of opiates. That's everybody knows that, but there is a place for them. It just should not be used long-term. It should not be used chronically. Cannabinoids, on the other hand, can be used long-term. There's no negative, horrible side effects
like
opioids do have, but yeah, sleep and pain and stress and anxiety are a couple of things that I treat. There's a couple of different forms of insomnia that I work with. And then we talk about dosing to help help with that problem.
And this taffy, can you break it up? It seems like everybody is, you know, taking little chunks.
Yep.
One review said I took a quarter of it. So is it possible to do that or to break it up like
Absolutely.
That?
So you can either just take a little bite off of it or you can use a scissors and cut it. But each taffy is individually packaged within the packaging to help with shelf life, to help with longevity, and also to help with safety for little fingers getting into it.
And you would probably recommend, you know, trying a little to see
absolutely.
What your limit is and just add on to it if you need more.
Yep, everybody has their own sensitivity.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jesse, if people want to find out more, the best place is your website, right?
Correct. Yes, sir.
Go to CannabisDNP.com. Yep.
And this Saturday, I'll be at Garver Sessions. I'll be there for the daytime and the PM. And then Sunday, I'll be back at the Northside Farmers Market, where I usually am every Sunday.
All right.
Very good.
Well, fantastic. This is great. Again, learning just a little bit about it really does help.
Good.
Appreciate you being with us, Jesse.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
We will be back with Leftovers on John and Gordy.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.